Let's go to my message today. My scripture reading is in Genesis. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have a beautiful sanctuary, a place of refuge, a place to come and give praise and glory and honor to you for all the things that you've done for us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and the thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask, Amen. My text to you is Genesis 6 and verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We find at this particular time, in God's Word, we find that it was a day in which the whole earth had become changed from what God originally had for mankind. God put Adam and Eve on this earth in a beautiful Garden of Eden. The most beautiful setting that you could possibly imagine. They were able to commune with God, communicate with Him personally. Even as those times that it speaks of that God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And He spoke to the men. To the man and woman that he had made. Sin and death very shortly entered the picture. God made that garden in Eden, Garden of Eden, as the most wonderful, beautiful place that man could ever imagine. But it did not take long for the picture to change. Satan entered the picture. His deceptions and his temptations came upon man. My message to you today is finding favor with God. I think each of us would want to do whatever is necessary to keep in favor not only keep in touch, not only communicate, but be in favor with our Almighty Creator. But finding favor with God most often means a loss of favor or preference with the world, with some of your friends. You become, to most of your probably friends, to most of the world, we and you become the weird one. We become the one out of step. We become the one that's not in the clique at school. We become the oddball, so to speak, to the majority. But you know, that's not bad when you have God on your side. And when you are staying in the favor of God. We find that Noah did not fit in with the crowd. We find that Noah was different. And so will you be. And so we are. As we seek out God's truths. And as we seek to abide in Him. And know and do those commands that He has for us. Did you know that the majority is not always right? In the Bible, we will find several instances that lets us know very clearly that the majority does not always mean that they are in touch with God, that God finds favor with them, or that you are right because you are in sometimes by far the majority. Can 90% be wrong and 10% be right? Can 98% be wrong and 10% and 2%, excuse me, be right? We find in Noah's day that Noah and just a few of his relatives, his children, children's wives, husbands. We find that they were the only ones judged worthy of being saved in Noah's time. And no doubt millions of people there. And only 8 souls, as the Bible would put it, were judged worthy to be saved in all the earth. Is a majority always right? Noah, we find, separated, or was separated from the others in various ways. Noah, obviously, was different. Have you ever been called different? Have you ever been called odd? Weird? Well, I think Noah was. Because the Bible lets us know that Noah built a huge boat and very likely was the first boat that had ever been built. I'd say people looked at him sort of weird, building something that never had been built before. And he preached a message that never had been preached before, obviously. And you know, he did this for 100 years while the ark was being prepared for the saving of those that Jesus deemed worthy to be saved. God is looking for children. God is looking for people to be a part of His kingdom. God wants to save those, to rescue those from this world, from these perilous times. God is wanting to rescue the ones that would open their hearts and their minds to Him. And not only open and accept Him, but then walk with Him. Noah found favor in God by keeping his eyes on God. You know, there was other people at that time of Noah that was referred to as the sons of God. Only these sons of God got their eyes and the intent of their hearts. They got it off of God, obviously. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they chose whoever they wished and took wives. But the implication here is that it should not have been so. That God should have entered the picture with these sons of God. God's desires and wishes for them. And the implication is that God would have had them not to do, not to make the choices that they made. But they obviously were sons of God, at least at one point in time, for a reason. But they got their eyes into the wrong thing. God wants you to keep your eyes on Him, and He wants you to seek His ways, not your own, for you. Because He knows what's best for you. Noah found favor with God by keeping God's ways. That is, what you do has God in mind. Keeping God's ways, that is, being righteous. And what is righteous? Right living. And how do you define right living? The living that God approves of. The living that God can find favor in. How do we know that? Throughout the entirety of His Word. Through His royal law. Through the Ten Commandments. Through the right and wrong, the good and evils that are expressed from the very first verse of Genesis that lets us know to do what God commands. It's obvious that adultery was wrong from the very beginning. It's obvious that murder was wrong from the very beginning, that stealing was wrong. It's obvious that God has His holy Sabbath for people to remember Him from the very beginning. And then it was put by the finger of God into tablets of stone and given to Moses on the mount to bring down to the children of Israel. Already in effect since Genesis 1, we need to keep His ways and we will be judged righteous by Him, just as Noah. Thirdly, Noah found favor with God by keeping his heart pure. These verses let us know that the world became evil beyond imagination at Noah's time. And the intent of the heart, how would you interpret that? The intent of the heart of those majority of the world was only upon evil continually. But Noah obviously kept his heart pure to God. He was found blameless of God because he walked in his ways. He kept his heart pure. Fourthly, by keeping his feet walking with and toward God. Let's see if we can go to verse 9 of our scripture reading. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Wouldn't you love for that to be said of you? That God found you blameless? That God judged you to be righteous? And that you walked with God? Meaning you agreed with everything that He presented to you. And you tried your very best to walk in line with Him. Do you know God knows your heart? He knows you better than anyone else. Even yourself knows you. Keep your feet walking with and toward God. It makes a difference. It's how you will find favor with God. Number 5, keeping his hands in service to God and in service to man. That's what God lets us know throughout His Word. He wants us to serve Him, respect and honor Him, obey Him, walk in His ways, and be of service to our neighbor. He wants us to keep our hands from doing violence. The whole earth was described as violent in Noah's time. Thousands of years ago. And then at our present time, all of these things can be used to describe our time. Violent, corrupt, dishonest, disloyal, out of favor and out of touch with God. Keep our hands from doing violence and from being corrupt. Number 6, keep his ears. We're talking about Noah and how Noah found favor with God. In contrast to all the rest of the men and women of the earth that was judged not worthy to be saved, Noah kept his ears in tune to God and in tune to His commands. And that obviously means that we should keep our ears tuning out Satan, tuning out the ways of evil, the ways of becoming corrupt, the ways of being violent, the ways of becoming of blame for bad things, bad decisions, bad actions. We need to keep our ears in tune with God and tune out Satan and the world. God expects us to come out of the world. In other words, don't be like the majority around you. Noah wasn't. Only 8 people, including Noah, was saved that in Noah's day. They were different. And God seen that difference. And God judged them to be worthy to save. Number 7. Noah kept his mouth speaking God's bidding. God spoke to Noah, and Noah preached for 100 years what God gave him, in the hope that the men and women of that time would realize what they were doing and how they were acting and behaving and turn from their wicked ways, that is, repent of their sins and the evil and the violence that they were doing. Noah preached so that they would turn away from their past and their sins and turn to God, the God of Noah, open their hearts and lives to God, and be saved. And at that time, the saving was in the preparation of the ark that carried the ones that God judged to be worthy, held them above the destruction. It was their rescue. It was their salvation. It was God's plan at that particular point in time. God gave Noah the word. Noah preached the word to try to save. When we allow our mouth to be used by God, it needs to be just like Noah. Our mouth needs to be used for the saving, in hopes of the saving to God of the ones that He calls, rather than destruction of them. The Bible lets us know how powerful the mouth is. And the mouth is like a fire that can consume. The mouth speaks words that can destroy, can tear down, can separate. It's a little thing, but it can cause big things. Noah used his preaching to try to save. But yet, no one except his immediate family opened up their hearts to God. No one was judged worthy to be saved besides them. We like to know, and when we read about Noah walking with God, it sort of intrigues us, and we wonder, you know, how do you get to that point? How do you find favor in God to the point that the word would read, Noah found favor with God? Noah walked with God. We've just went over some of those things that separated Noah from all the others that was around him. There is another, and I would like to touch on that. Let's go to Genesis 5 and 24, and we'll read of another like Noah. Genesis 5 and 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Isn't that something? Noah was close. I mean, Enoch was close enough to God that he didn't see the normal death that we think of. And the Bible does not speak of him being buried as of all the others around him, before and after. What made him different? How did God look upon him? And the word reads that he walked with God. For a further explanation, let's go to, in the New Testament, let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And we'll find out just a little more. Very little is said about Enoch, except that what we just read. Enoch lived before Noah. Enoch walked with God first. God took Enoch before Noah came on the scene. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. We could say that Enoch found favor with God. We all want that same favor. And it requires turning from our ways and looking to God's ways and doing our best to walk within Him. He pleased God. Let's try to change our thoughts and change our lives and change our ways and change our attitudes to where they reflect what God wants them to be. Not perhaps our natural self. Our natural self perhaps might need changed for the better of our not only ourselves but everybody else. We need to think about that. Do what pleases God. Let's go to Jude 1 and 14. Jude 1 and 14. And about these also, Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones. That was the New American Standard Version. The King James Version speaks of Enoch as being the seventh man from Adam. Reckon there's any connection there of the seventh man from Adam and he being that special person that found favor with God? The New Testament also mentions Noah. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 7. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. Do you want God to speak to you and warn you in the special period of time or whenever when things are about to happen to you. He did it for Noah in a tremendous way. He can do it for us today. Warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah responded to God by faith. How much is our faith? Our faith needs to be as great as it can possibly be. It needs to be growing. Each and every day of our life, as we stay in God, our faith needs to be increasing. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 and 5. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah didn't spare the angels. God did not spare the angels. God gave them freedom of choice, didn't he? They were spiritual beings. They were created by God, just like we were created by God. God gave them freedom of choice, and they took that freedom, and a third of them rebelled against God himself, their creators. They rebelled, and God did not spare them, but cast them out of heaven. God did not spare the ancient world when it became unimaginably wicked and corrupt and violent. And I'd almost say, just like our world today, we see the same things going on in our world. How do we know that our world has not even become more wicked than the world of Noah? How do we know that? I would say we are close, if not past. I would say that our Word of God lets us know that this world will one day be destroyed. The heaven and earth that we know will be no more. And I read in my Bible where it says, if Jesus did not intervene and come back to this world, that the world would destroy itself. But you know, that's not God's plan. God is not going to let man destroy the world. He has that in his plan himself at the appropriate time. But Jesus is going to come back before that time. We need to look upon God as a loving creator. And we need to serve him with fear, because he is our creator. We need to serve him with love. He has all the love and mercy for us. But judgment is also in his hands. He wants us to respond to him. He wants us to obey him. In closing, let's go to 2 Peter 3 and starting with verse 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Notice first of all that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Do you think that's how some of the ones were thinking in the day of Noah? No doubt. Do you think there's any today in our time that has those same thoughts and has perhaps all their life? In the last days, they will be saying, where's the promise of His coming? Ever since we've known and history has been recorded, everything's going on just like it always has been. For when they maintained this, it escaped their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by His word are being preserved for fire. How are we being preserved and reserved and sustained? The present heaven and earth by His word are being reserved, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish. Now, that is really great right there. The Lord is not slow about doing what He said He's going to do, as some judge that, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But is all coming to repentance? Is all going to be saved? It says that God would want them to, but will they? In Noah's day, I'd say a good 98% of them perished. What about our day? What's the percentage going to be? But the day of the Lord, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's what we've been speaking about this morning. That's what separated Noah from all the other of his time. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? If you're not like this, is God going to judge you worthy to be saved? Is God going to save you? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. We've heard that word this morning. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was judged by God to be righteous. Let's go on to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Noah was blameless. Let's do the things as Noah did that separated himself from the majority, even though he was no doubt ridiculed, looked down on, belittled, ignored, talked about. But Noah found favor with God. Stand with me in prayer.